It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. And Damon, good to have you here for Laker Hockey Talk. Halloween kind of took you out for the Laker Hockey Show this week, but David Pateson did a good job. Ryan Renz was outstanding in representing you there. And the show went very, very well. And we'll talk a little bit about the Michigan State Series here, but I want to get into Alaska Anchorage first. This is a preview. It's Parents Weekend. A lot of activities, a lot of distraction, too, with Parents Weekend. But big series. This is a series the Lakers want to do well in.
Well, no question. It's great to be home too. I mean, it feels like I know it's only been a couple week weekends of road games, but man, it feels like it's been a long time and haven't been home much this year. So I know that'll be important for us to get back into it and feed off our crowd. Certainly be able to get matchups back on our side will help our team as well. But it's going to be really exciting to be back home. As you mentioned, you know, back to WCHA play, huge points on the line here. And you know, we've got to get things turned around. It's been a struggle, obviously, and you know, been a challenging start. Probably the polar opposite of last year, where nothing went wrong, everything went in. It was like Michigan State in reverse, where everything ended up in the back of our their net last year, and things were way too easy. It's been the opposite this year, so we're looking to establish a better Laker identity and get back in the win column with these big games this weekend.
Yeah, I don't want to go back and reflect too much on Michigan State as yet. I'd rather talk about what we've got coming up, because Olivier Mantha is one of the better goaltenders in all of college hockey. We know we're going to be facing him this weekend. Right now, the Lakers are team that's struggling to score goals too. That was evidenced this past weekend. The last thing we need is a hot goaltender, but we're going to get it, and let's hope that the Laker Legion and the good hometown fans and the hometown cooking are going to pay off for Lake Superior.
Yeah, again, it will be nice to get home. I mean, our crowd's been outstanding early on there, and we've played well in front of them. You know, feed off their energy for sure. You know, you mentioned Mantha, certainly the main threat on their team. They've got some good players, some experienced seniors leading the way in scoring, but you know, it kind of starts with Mantha. You know, he's got a lot of press over the last couple of years, and he's very capable of winning games single-handedly. So you know, very similar team coming in that hasn't been off to a good start. We're built differently in terms of our strengths and weaknesses right now, so I think their strengths are different than ours, and it'll be interesting to see the way that plays out. But it's certainly all Mantha is a main component to be aware of. You know, we want to make sure he struggles to find pucks, get good traffic to the net, as you do against any goaltender, but certainly one of his ability. So that'll be a big challenge. You know, we've got some guys who are scoring. I think our top guys of at least two or three of them are having good years offensively. JT, Gelsinger, Max, Humitz are all playing well and, you know, doing a good job that way. But you know, we want to make sure we make it difficult for him, and we've got to do more 5-on-5. We can't rely on our power play to create our offense, and it's been a challenge. You know, probably surprisingly so in some areas. I didn't think it'd be this difficult for us to score 5-on-5, but it's proven to be so far. And you know, we're working to remedy some of those situations and be more successful that way.
Yeah, what can you do right now to try to pick things up? I know you've changed your lines around the last few games, and that's an effort to try to find some magic there to get some offense going, and it has worked a little bit, but again, we had to rely on power play goals this past weekend to get some goals. That came on Friday night, and then Saturday night we get shut out 6-0, and those are not good indications right now. We're 1-5-2 right now, and I guess the good thing this weekend is Anchorage hasn't won a game yet.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing, you know, that we've been working on to do better is being heavier on pucks. You know, the first couple weekends, we were way too easy to play against. You know, I don't think we, and then that falls on me ultimately to have the guys ready to play. But, you know, we gave up pucks too easily. You know, you work so hard to create a chance, or you work so hard to exit your own zone and play in the offensive zone, and then we'd have you know skill plays, soft skill plays, trying to make things happen, where you have to be heavy. You know, you have to protect that puck, you want to hold on to it. You know, most guys you know, would rather play in the offensive zone than the defensive zone, but we were giving the puck up way too easily, providing easy offense and transition for the opposing team. So that's really been the big point of emphasis, is to hang on to the puck. You know, if you don't have a play, don't turn it over, don't force things, put it back to a good area where we can either be good defensively on it or regain possession offensively. defensively. So until we start being heavier on pucks and harder to play against, it's going to be a challenge. You know, we've got to be way better defensively, you know, giving up a lot less goals. We're not going to be scoring 5-6 goals to win hockey games, and right now we're giving up way too much.
Yeah, Saturday night was an anomaly to the rest of the season, and yet it was really a disappointing game in that we kind of got outskated to loose pucks. We went 0-for-4 on the power play with only one shot on goal. We let them score 3 power play goals. I thought we took a lot of penalties that were not necessary in that game. It was just kind of like one of those games, and Ryan Renz and I talked about this on the hockey show on Tuesday night, one of those games you kind of throw it out. You don't really want to reflect too much on it because it's totally out of character for the team and just a bad game that you want to forget about.
Yeah, you know what? And a lot of it, again, is you know, the untimely goals. You know, I think our goaltending has the capability to be a strength of our team, you know, and those guys have shown it at times, but you know, you have to be consistent in net. If you're not going to be strong and consistent in net, it's going to be a challenge. And so, you know, I thought that night, again, you go back to last year, it was the opposite when we played State. You know, everything we put on the net went in, you know, and they scored some nice goals, but there's also one or two or three on the weekend that can't go in if we're going to be successful. So that's a piece of it for sure. You know, I think when you look at the special teams, as you mentioned, I've liked our penalty kill most of the year. I thought the first few weekends, really, we were a little bit weak in the penalty kill on the rush. We gave up 2 or 3 rush goals, but in zone, we've been really good. And then all of a sudden, I mean, if you look at it, I don't know if it's their 4th or 5th goal, but it goes over the net, bounces back above our net. They bat out of the air, and that was, like you mentioned, is kind of what was going on that Saturday night in particular. Power play is, you know, different right now because we lost 2 of our best power play guys, you know, and you know, we need guys to emerge. There's no excuses. We have guys on the ice that have to step up, but with Lucas Kybel and Colin Sockerman out, those were 2 defensemen that ran power play units and were a big piece of that. So now everything is different. You know, we lose continuity on all of our groups. I think our power play is still a top 3 or 2 power play in the country. It's been very good for us. You know, one unit is playing a little bit better than the other, but everything is different. Every piece has changed on them because of those losses. So it does take some time to rebuild that a little bit. And you know, again, Colin bringing pucks up the ice, our power play breakouts are different, our end zone looks are different. So there's a lot of changes there that I think, you know, can benefit you. And Friday night, they did a great job. They clawed back in. We scored 2 or 3 on the weekend on Friday and got us back into that game before, you know, an untimely goal against kind of took that away. So, you know, that's a work in progress now with those losses, and they'll be out for a little bit while longer here. So, you know, again, guys have some opportunity to step into some power play roles and show that they belong there and kind of grab a new role for themselves.
Yeah, we had a number of questions from the fans at the hockey show on Tuesday night, and one of those was an injury update. They wanted to know how Sackleman's doing, when he might be back, and Kybel as well. And I know that the ineligible player Yuki Miura is on crutches right now too, so he's hurt as well, and that doesn't affect the team play because he couldn't play anyway. And one of the fans asked about Steven Ruggiero, when he can play, and whether he can skate as yet either.
Yeah, we have maybe more crutches in the locker room right now than hockey sticks. So it's one of those things, you know, again, you want to look at all aspects, you know, what we're doing on the ice, off the ice, and you're trying to make sure that you're not doing anything to put your athletes in harm's way. So, you know, and they've all been a little bit different, and, you know, so hard to piece things together and say, hey, this is what's happening, or this is, everything's a little bit different. But Yuki will be out for a while. You know, he is eligible to return before too long. So he'll probably be injured when he's able to return, but you know, I do expect to see him in some games in a handful of weeks, so still a ways out. You know, Colin, again, a couple of weeks out, so you know, we'll miss him. Probably you know, one of our top 2 defensemen out for a while here, was key to us in all situations last year, you know, both 5-on-5 power play penalty kill. So real big piece there with Colin, so he'll continue to work through his injury. You know, Lucas Kybel, again, will be out for this weekend, and he's still probably a couple of weeks at best, so you know, limited on the back end. Steven Ruggiero has joined us in practice. He's not a full contact yet, and he'll either be eligible at the holiday tournament or maybe possibly the weekend before at Michigan Tech. And again, when he is eligible from his transfer status, you know, look for him to get in some games early on. He's been, you know, real, you know, critical piece in practice. You know, you can tell he's a hockey player with his size and skating, and it'll make a real competitive back end. We got another forward or two that are kind of day by day. Most likely one of our key forwards will be out for the weekend as well, but we'll kind of see what happens over the next couple of days and see if we can get him back as well.
Yeah, injuries becoming a little bit of a problem now, and that hurts the depth, et cetera. And as you just said, it upsets some of the special teams play. Friday night's game at Michigan State, 2 power play goals and 4 chances, so we continued to get it done there. I think Humitz had a power play goal, and Gelsinger did, and that was a good comeback, but we were down 4-0 at one point in the third period of that game before we kind of came to life and then just ran out of time at the end. Pulled the goaltender, couldn't score the goal to tie the game, and then Saturday night's the anomaly we're talking about, 6-0 defeat. Those are tough games, and I imagine it was a quiet bus ride home.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's a challenge for sure. I mean, anytime it is, there's one goal on the weekend to come out to win hockey games, and you know you can only play it game by game and period by period. So, like you said, we've flushed it, we've moved on, we're back to WCHA play, and you know I like the mindset. You know, and we're not far either. You know, if you look at a couple of those ties, a couple of those early losses, again, you know, getting that timely save, getting that timely goal, it's a close thing. And again, it's the exact opposite of last year. We were 6-0-1, and you know we thought you know we were unbeatable. We're going to run through the season undefeated. So we're the exact opposite side of it. Nobody around the country, and certainly UAA, is not going to come in feeling sorry for us. So there's nothing to do but to get back to work and kind of double down on our efforts. We're trying to kind of just, you know, almost start over, go back to training camp, you know, go back over our structure, making a couple tweaks to the way we're playing and what we're trying to do. And again, a lot of new personnel that are playing through. And, you know, penalty kill, same thing. I've really liked our penalty kill most of the year this year. But you lose a guy like Colin Sockeman, and you know that's a big impact there as well. So we've got guys that are trying to catch up into some roles and some situations that they haven't been thrust on, and we've got some work to do there.
All right, we're going to take a break. It's Laker Hockey Talks Thursday morning. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten, and we'll be right back with more after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Well, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Witten. And Damon, we've got Parents Weekend coming up, and that's always a big deal for the players. A lot of the parents will be here. They go out of their way to come from a long way away to see the team play a couple of games, and it puts a little extra stress on, especially on the coaching staff, trying to meet all the parents and have a little fair for them. I think Saturday night post game right in the Nora Center upstairs in one of the big rooms that you can open up there is where we're going to play host to parents and give the players a chance to introduce their parents, and the coaching staff will be there as well. That'll be Saturday after the game.
Yeah, and that's hosted by the Sioux Blue Liners, and we certainly encourage anybody is welcome to attend. There's no cost. It's by donation and cash bar and some finger food, things like that up there. So a great way to get to, you know, spend some time with the players and certainly their families. As you mentioned, we'll have parents coming from all over coming in to watch their sons, and we love that opportunity to get to see them. You know, each time, each relationship with the player is a little bit different, and the recruiting, you know, process for each player is a little bit different. So some of these parents we've known for 3-4 years, going back to when we first started recruiting these student athletes. You look at a guy like Brendan McKay, his brother Austin, who just graduated last year, so we know the McKay family quite well, and they don't miss many games. So sometimes the parents you get to see quite a bit, and you have, you know, almost a weekly interaction or a couple minutes to spend with them. Sometimes it might be one trip a year. So, you know, it's kind of unique to here, the situations they come from, the towns they come from, their travel, how they get here. But certainly, you know, really looking forward to that Saturday post game. And again, we encourage everybody. It's right in the Norris Center, so it's nice. You go upstairs, and we'll have a couple of the classrooms opened up in a nice setting there to socialize and spend some time with the players and their families. But certainly appreciate the sacrifices. You know, there's nothing like a hockey parent and what they put in financially, time-wise, you know, as these kids grow up and travel the world playing this game that they love. It's a huge sacrifice, and, you know, great families, great people here. So we'll really enjoy that moment there once we win a couple of hockey games and then reflect back and thank them for their support.
Yeah, we almost had a preview of Parents Weekend this past weekend. There were a lot of parents and a lot of family at Michigan State.
That's always a big weekend, certainly for your Michigan contingent. You know, easy trip down there for most of them coming from the Detroit area. And a big weekend in a nice venue. So, you know, the only disappointing part was those results, but it was good to get a lot of people around. Denver, we had a great turnout as well, both alum and parents. So, you know, they're kind of used to these sacrifices over the years, traveling around. And, you know, you look at a guy like CJ Hayes. I believe CJ moved away from Florida in the eighth grade. He moved to Billet in Illinois. So he's been gone a long way. His parents are used to kind of traveling around. Matt McArdle, no different. He left home in eighth grade to move to Shattuck St. Mary's and kind of pursue his playing career. It's really a shame in our game that it has to happen so much, but again, these parents have sacrificed a lot, so it's always nice to celebrate with them.
Yeah, it's a big weekend for both these teams. I'm sure the Lakers are looking at it, hey, UAA has not won a game yet, let's get some victories under our belt on the home ice. And the Seawolves, for their part, they're looking at it, hey, the Lakers are floundering around a little bit right now, it's time to get a win here, and they're going to come in upbeat as well, and it'll be very interesting Friday night at 7:07.
Well, I think, you know, across college hockey, you go into Denver, you tie the number one team in the country a couple weeks ago. You know, you have to play. It doesn't matter what our record is, what their record is, who you're playing. If you don't show up and have 20 guys playing, you know, you're probably going to lose a hockey game. And the other way around, you get 20 guys who show up playing together, playing the right way, you're going to give yourself a good chance to win that hockey game. So they're all hard fought. They're all difficult. Like you said, you throw a goalie like Mantha in the net, there's a great equalizer there as well. So, you know, we have some advantages in some spots in our lineup and throughout what we're doing, and they have some advantages as well. Ultimately, it's going to be who goes out and wins their 50-50 battles and outcompetes the guys across from them. I mean, that's the beauty of our game. And you see it, you know, even at the NHL level now, there's still a couple of teams that are a little bit above talent-wise, things like that. But really, across college hockey, it's there's so much parity. It's any given night. So we have to be ready to play. I've liked our approach this week in practice. You know, I think the mindset is as good as it can be with the challenges we've gone through. But our guys understand the urgency and the importance of it, and we're ready to get back on track tomorrow night.
Yeah, we've got to, you got to work some different special teams too. We talked about Lucas Kybel and Colin Sackleman being out of the lineup. There's nothing we can do about that. They're injured, so now other people have to step into those roles. Have you worked any kind of changes at all this week on special teams at all to try to maybe take some pressure off the guys who are always out there, or put pressure on some people where you want to do that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you're always looking and talking, and so we've worked extensively on our special teams this week, as we do most weeks, especially early on, but certainly with the changes that have gone on. And, you know, part of that is, like I said, bringing pucks up the ice, who can carry it. You know, and then you mentioned the personnel. Again, you're always evaluating. If you go back to this weekend, you know, one group that I think they scored both goals there had five forwards on it. Again, you lose two power play defensemen. There's not, you know, many teams that have guys who can maybe step up and bring that power play skill set from the back end. It's a little bit of a unique attribute. But we've repped some different guys through. We've changed the structure of one of the groups, like you said, to maybe, like you said, take some pressure off. We have some young guys in some key spots. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight for a lot of guys to step in at a new level and be able to maybe quarterback a power play or things like that. So we've tried to change our structure and our alignment to what we're doing on one group and work some personnel around. Again, Anthony Nellis is up top running one group. You know, maybe not ideal that you want five forwards in a forward running the top of it, but you know, you have to have some flexibility, and again, those guys did a good job. They went out, scored two power play goals, and gave us a chance on that Friday night game.
Were you at all surprised by anything Michigan State did? They seem to, you know, they're a high-flying young team. They only have two seniors who play right now, and they're mostly underclassmen on that team, but Dan Cole seems to have them flying around pretty good. They're fast. They've got some good size. I thought their power play set up really well. I thought they were a much better team than they were last season.
They definitely have a better structure to what they're doing in terms of their systems and what they're doing. I think you're seeing some, like you said, some young, hungry guys playing hard for the new coach. But, you know, again, I think it was the opposite of the series up here last year where, you know, pucks went in for us a year ago. What did we win, 7-3 and 6-1 mm-hmm. or something like that? And, you know, the scores weren't as bad the other night going down there on Friday night in particular. But it was the reverse. You know, it's one of those weekends where pucks found the back of our net way too easy, you know, from goaltending to defense to our forwards playing on the right side of pucks and managing pucks. So, you know, give them credit. They went and earned it. But, again, I think we've got to do a lot better job away from the puck, being more responsible and not giving pucks up. You know, we've got to do, we just got to be heavier and harder to play against to turn that around.
You know, we talked with Ryan Renz on Tuesday night at the hockey show, and we talked at length about video and how things have changed in the coaching game. I've certainly witnessed that over the 40 years I've been involved doing play-by-play on Laker hockey. But, you know, he talked about that at length, how you can break things down and show a guy individually good things and bad things, and what a teaching tool it is. And I know that you and Rich and Mike use that extensively. It's a big part of your coaching technique.
You know, there's you know, quite honestly, probably a night that goes by in season where you don't have your laptop in front of you, and whether, you know, the last couple nights pre-scouting UAA, you know, you might be using some resources you have, some NHL contacts where they're sending you some clips of things we're doing. You know, there's a team or two that we kind of steal from to run some of our structure, so we're always trying to beg, borrow, and steal, you know, their video and watching where we can adjust or be better, make some changes that way. And then the recruiting side of it as well, where that's all online now as well. So, you know, again, honestly, every single night, you know, really all three of us are on it. Sometimes, like I said, you're pre-scouting. Sometimes you're going back over your own video to recut and reclip edits for players. And then, like you said, you know, the way we run it, we'll grab lines or individuals to watch games back or certainly watch certain plays, whether that's good or bad, teaching moments. You know, today after practice still, you know, we'll grab a couple of the D pairings and continue to show them clips from the weekend or NHL clips, areas we want to be better and improve upon. So it is. It's a huge tool, and you know, I think we try to do a good job, not doing too much of it, because it can certainly, guys can tune out a little bit, and you kind of lose them at times. But you want to manage it and use the right amount to make sure we're prepared and ready to play.
Well, it's going to be an interesting weekend. UAA will be a formidable foe. They were last year when they came in here, and want to do a good job against them this weekend. It all starts on Friday night. We'll have both games on Yes FM for the fans who want to listen in online, on TV, and on the radio. We've got it all for you. And Damon, Parents Weekend, it'll be fun, especially if we can win. We got to get a win on Friday.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's critical. Like I said, not even so much the win, Bill. It's just a good start. You know, that's where we're at right now. We want to make sure we're boiling it down to the simplest levels. You know, go out, have a good start. You know, you play that first 6 or 8 minutes of that first media timeout. You manage pucks. You make them defend. You know, you get a chance to make an adjustment or two at that first media timeout, and then you take that next segment. So we talk all the time. You know, you can't win two games on Thursday morning here, or Thursday afternoon, or even Friday evening. You know, puck drops at 7:07. We'll see everybody out there, but we're focused on winning that first 20 minutes and having a better complete effort from all you know, areas of our team, positionally, structurally, 5-on-5 penalty kill. But that's what it is. A good 20 minutes, get our crowd into it. They've been great for us, and you know, we'll be ready to play.
All righty, that's Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. UAA, the opponent this weekend. Don't miss those games. It is Parents Weekend. Everybody's invited out on Saturday night postgame to that. It'll be in the Norris Center upstairs, so you don't have to walk very far after the game. Damon, thanks for doing this, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Great talking Laker hockey, and looking forward to seeing everybody tomorrow night. Go Lakers.
All righty. That's another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.